The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And we think that whatever problem we have, once we eat some wedding cake, it's all going to go away. Or we think that the other person needs to fulfill every need and will. And, we've been putting that best foot forward. And then once we're married, the other foot comes out. And it's pretty ugly a lot of the time.
Coming up on Life Today, award-winning author and host of New Life Live, Stephen Otterburn, reveals the 7-minute marriage solution.
Today, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jay Robinson. This is James.
Yeah, and I've never found your starter button, to get you going. Sometimes I'll say, why don't you do the introduction here, and I'm then I have to check her to be sure she will. Steve Otterburn is with us. He's been here a lot of times. I told him, I said, Steve, we just sponsor your television minister and pay for it. Well, Steve has been effective helping people. As you know, he helped start the Women of Faith. He's done so many things. But he also knows what it's like when the wheels come off and then when God miraculously puts things together. And he just wants to help people. Welcome, Steve Otterburn, back to life.
Thank you.
You think you can help us?
I don't know. Maybe I could sit in the back seat on the way home with you or something like that. But, being real is probably the most important thing that brings people together. And it's when we start trying to fake it and be something that we're not, we lose clarity. And it's one of the things I write about in the book is that you need to be clear about who you are. You can be imperfect, but if the spouse knows your imperfections and you're not trying to hide them, and they're really able to trust you, because when you say something, it's real. When you go somewhere, they know you're going to be there. Then they've got clarity and security, and that's how you build a marriage.
Well, I think if you're being real about the imperfection really being an imperfection and you're willing to acknowledge it, that's a step in the right direction. That's kind of what you might go under the covering even of confession.
Right.
We got a weakness, we got an imperfection, and I admit it, and it's nice if we both work on it.
Right.
With me, work on me.
Well, you hear so many stories of marriages that are stagnant, and the reason is that one or both have stopped the willingness factor in the marriage. If you're willing to look at yourself, willing to work on something, God can do anything with that marriage. Sadly, that doesn't always happen. And, I wrote this book because I wanted to prevent people from going through divorce. The Christian divorce rate is horrible, and if you've ever been through one, you know how horrible it really is, and it's worse on the kids. But also, in the Christian community, you've got all these people that'll never divorce, but they're miserable in their marriage. And so I asked 1,361 people to help me find the 7 things you could stop and the 7 things you could start doing today. And then also I provide the 7 most valuable minutes that you can spend in your marriage every day.
And even applying them to these things. Now look, he's really broken it down. I feel inadequate a lot of times because I come with a case and a goal rather than an outline or a guide, and I just download. I'm not blessed to do things like you. I do make very thorough outlines, and then I let them soak inside, and then they come flowing out. But you broke it down beautifully, and then for you to take it to say there's 7 things to stop and 7 things to start, and I've already started scribbling in the book. I get to scribbling just the minute I start because stuff jumps out at me. It gets my attention, and all these will you. But what you've done, he said, stop clinging to unrealistic expectations, stop obsessing on the past, stop drowning in suspicion and jealousy, stop trying to change your mate, stop seething in anger and resentment, stop tolerating compulsions and addictions, stop focusing on your own interests. Now, that's the things to stop. And then he gives you the things to start. Start embracing friendship and fun. Start responding romantically to your mate. Start expressing grace and forgiveness. Start affirming your mate's strengths. Start spending money responsibly. Start practicing your lifetime vows. Start showing respect no matter what. Now, I kind of highlighted some of them. All right, unrealistic expectations.
Yes. We all have them, and we think that whatever problem we have, once we eat some wedding cake, it's all going to go away, or we think that the other person needs to fulfill every need and will. And, you know, we've been putting that best foot forward, and then once we're married, the other foot comes out, and it's pretty ugly a lot of the time. And so what we've got to do sometimes, like a woman needs to kind of grieve the loss of the idealized Prince Charming marriage so that she can accept the marriage that she has. And many times a man will think, well, you know, maybe I've got a pornography problem. Once I'm married, that'll take care of that, and it actually makes it worse. So he's got to lower his expectations down to reality, and we got to look at, well, what do we have and build from there. That's why it's so important that people have a long relationship, maybe a short engagement, but you've got to spend time together so you do know exactly what to expect in the good times and the bad.
And being a woman, I think when going into our marriage, we were young, 19, my expectations were high that this was the man that was going to take care of me for the rest of my life, bring me the security that I desired so much, and make me happy.
Yeah.
Well, we found out pretty quick that wasn't going to work that way, because I looked to him for all my joy, for everything in life. My identity was going to be through him.
Yeah.
And that wasn't going to work because he couldn't fulfill all those expectations.
And you know, on New Life Live, we're like broken records. When women call and they've got these problems and disappointments, and it's usually they are expecting him to fulfill all these needs, and they have no close women around them to meet some of these needs. They don't have that supportive community that you need. And so he comes up short every single day, and then she starts comparing him to other people, and it produces a separation. And so that's why this 7 minutes is so important, because it brings the separated couple back together.
All right, let me jump down to the other, suspicion and jealousy. I acknowledge I had a less problem, so it can run it off. The start, but she had a jealousy problem because I wouldn't necessarily be looking at a woman. I've never not known beauty, and God did good work, and I've noticed. And but I know I mustn't be unhealthily, you know, attracted or distracted. But she would notice women looking at me because I was a strong man, speaking good things, and seemed to care, and seemed to exude confidence, and seemed to care about people, and they liked that. She noticed that, and I didn't notice it. And you were jealous, right?
I was, and I think a lot of the jealousy was I put on myself because I was insecure. Mm-hmm. I had low self-esteem.
Right.
I didn't think much about myself. So how could I not be jealous if I thought some other woman appeared to have it all together?
Right.
All the things that were missing in me, the gifts, the talents, the looks, everything.
Yeah. So he probably wasn't communicating to you and affirming you and respecting you in a way where you would just go, well, you know, they can look beautiful all day long. Nobody's going to affect this relationship.
Well, the funny thing really was, and it wasn't funny, was he did incur. He did.
Did he?
I was torturing myself. Mm. I was allowing the enemy to identify, be my identity, you know, and beat up on myself, because he did encourage me. He did tell me I was beautiful.
And she was actually putting herself down.
Yeah.
But she was the one doing the comparing.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Betty would be the first one to say, hey, that's a pretty girl, or that's a pretty lady. Okay, fine, sure, we know. That's good. Good work.
Well, you know,
but the point is that she would be jealous because she saw them coming toward me. All I'm saying is that fed the lust issue in me, because I'm thinking, well, what the heck? She's thinking that anyway. Well, I might as well talk to her.
Right.
You just, it's like a rage, and the proverb says that jealous is a rage.
That's
now, you may not know, maybe most of you, I'm not as perfect as some of you, so just, you know. But I'm telling you, the devil will take our weaknesses and our tendencies, and he feeds them. And they become a flaming missile because they stick, and then they begin to grow. So jealousy feeds this problem. Well, it's a real issue.
And in every one of these, I give you 7 things if the person won't stop doing what needs to be stopped. So it would say to you...
Is he in them, shoot them? Is that it?
No, but it does say become the most predictable person that you can possibly be, so that they know exactly where you are at all times. Look at any suspicious behavior. Are you keeping your passwords secret, or is everything open to this person? So that there are some things you can do to to tone down the jealousy and build up the security there, because the jealousy will fuel the lust of the other guy, just like you said.
All right, the next one that we highlighted here and we talked about is compulsion and addiction. And of course, you dealt with every man's battle, but what compulsion and addiction, touch on that.
Well, in here I'm saying...
Because we got a lot of compulsive eaters, too. We got a lot of people that are hurting themselves because they can't seem to not be compulsive about damaging the temple of God. Am I right about that?
Yes, and as I said to you, you know, the Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah, they were very arrogant and they didn't care about people. They were lazy and they were gluttonous. And it is, that particular addiction is one in the Christian community that we seem to overlook. And so a person, if you're living with someone that has that compulsion or addiction, what I'm saying is stop enabling it and stop allowing evil into your home. If your husband is a sex addict and you're just thinking, if I love him more, if I'm more beautiful or whatever, stop doing that, because you're essentially enabling evil. So the stopping of it is do your part, because a lot of people are so addicted to something that they're not going to wake up one morning and go, you know, I think I'll just take care of this. Sometimes you have to bring the pressure. Proverbs 10:10, if you wink at wrong, you cause trouble. But an open rebuke can bring lasting peace. And that's what we're encouraging people to do, is make that bold move, find out what kind of help is available, and get that help.
And offer it without being condemning.
Right.
Which is what you do so beautifully in all of your... By the way, he teaches seminars. There's his website. He goes out and helps with everything he's saying. And you're doing things for young people. You're doing things for church leaders. There's information there on his website. I mean, check it out, because Steve is gifted to help and to break it down. You told me before we came out here that a lot of women now are trying to be more appealing by reading, what's the Shades of Gray,
Shades
or whatever.
Of Gray.
It's a very sensual thing to try to make women either get unhealthily excited or sensual, or get some kind of arousal or whatever. But they're also doing it because they want to be, they think, if I think this way, I'll be more appealing. So they're competing with everything the devil throws at us, and they can't compete on that level. So is that a problem too?
Well, it is. And you know, when they just did a survey of 1,001 women, 75% say that the sexual relationship is vitally important to the relationship. Now, if you ask men what that percentage would be, they'd probably say it's about 20%. The men have stopped pursuing women, and many people have an asexual marriage, an asexual relationship. So these novels are so appealing because it arouses within them. They live vicariously through this character in these novels. And, you know, I hear Christian women talking about them, and they are trying to have some kind of sexuality that is brought to the surface. And, you know, if we as men can realize that the most valuable sex organs we have are our eyeballs. And when we connect with a woman, eyeball to eyeball, I didn't come up with this, my wife taught me this. When we connect with them eyeball to eyeball every day, it does something that nothing else will do. And you can go a whole day talking, sharing, whatever, and never really look at each other in the eye. And so you've got to sit down and you've got to do that to have that connection continue to grow.
Okay, start on these. You say we need to start embracing friendship and fun, and we need to start affirming our mate's strengths. And then the other one here, I'm just touching on several of them. Respect no matter what. Just break some of that out right quickly. We don't have a lot of time.
Yeah.
That's why you need to get the book. It's why you need, by the way, he's got a Bible study guide, that 7-minute marriage solution Bible. Look, I know enough about the effort that goes into trying to do things to help people. He didn't do this trying to peddle books. He's trying to help people because he's tasted some of the pain, and then he's watched people work through it. Touch on some of those that are in the book, because it's thoroughly dealt with.
Well, one of the things that I talk about is that people are miserable in the marriage because they forgot what they used to do to have fun. And, you know, my wife and I, we dance. And if we're in a mall and the music's right, we'll just start dancing, and then people sometimes will join us. You've got to have that kind of fun.
Y'all ever go to a Baptist church?
I'm a recovering Southern Baptist because I dance, you know. So Anyway, I don't drink, though, so I'm pretty pure, fairly pure. But anyway, you've got to do those kind of things if you want to start to build the romance. You can't just say, you know, I want my wife to respond to me in the bedroom more. Hey, if that's what you think you need to do is to get her to respond more, forget it. You've got to start with the fun part, paying attention, going back to some of those original places. And I say even if you are drifting apart, doing things that you're both vulnerable in brings people together. Camping, jumping out of an airplane, climbing a mountain, snow skiing. When you're both vulnerable, it brings you together. So you need to find fun things that would be challenging for both of you if you've started to drift.
I'll touch on some of those other. Well, let's go right straight to respect, showing that respect. Because, you know, a lot of people talk about men need it from the woman, but you're saying very emphatically the woman needs it too.
Well,
not just affirmation, but respect.
Yeah, as I've watched you over the years, I've watched your respect for Betty grow tremendously. And I don't think that men just need respect and women want love. I think that a woman wants respect. And many times we're dismissive or we treat them as second-class people. And I think you've got to find what is unique about the essence of this woman, respect her for that skill, and affirm her with it. I really believe she is the best mother, the best nurturing person I've ever known. And I try to affirm her every time. I was in bed last night and she came over to me and she just said, you know, you're the best dad I've ever been around. We affirm each other and respect each other, and it builds that closeness that I think all of us are longing for.
We all need affirmation. There's a deep longing inside. So how about, Steve, how about what we need so much, and rightly so? We need the Father's affirmation, and in the Son, He's well pleased, and the Son is in us, and He's well pleased. But we need to hear that, and we like to hear it come from somebody else affirming us. But how about we become the affirmer? We become the affirmer. I was playing golf with a professional golfer who was on the PGA Tour many years, and we're just out playing. He's watching me with the other players. He said, I believe you're the greatest encourager I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean I don't ever point out that we need to improve somewhere.
Right.
But that was nice that he said that, because what I hear, I am affirming people. I'm encouraging them. I'm letting them really do better. Or, you know, you're doing great. Don't we need to hear that? Isn't that something we can pass on in our marriage and with our family?
Yes, and we need to do that. And let me just give you kind of the flip side of that, too. We're always looking for erotic love and stuff, but what a marriage needs is compassionate love. We're more compassionate about a dog on the side of the road that got hit by a car than we are about the person that we live with, person that we chose. Mm-hmm. And so I call people out to transcendence, to transcend your own needs and to develop at least a compassion. When you're compassionate, you're in tune with their needs and you're going to affirm them and encourage them rather than point out something that's going to make them feel worse and be in a very bad place.
I find indescribable joy building Betty up. Mm-hmm. That is not something I do that occasionally you happen to catch. It's continual. I like to build everybody up. And I like to be encouraged, but I also like to be instructed. I like to be corrected. I want to be yielded clay in the hand of God, don't you? Mm. Well, here is someone sent by God who's learned through experience and who's gifted at breaking things down and helping us. Would you say thanks to Steve Arterman for being here, for sharing with us and helping us?
Thank you so much. Thank
and
you
I, hope you, I hope you'll get the book. I hope you'll go on the website, there it is, and just check out what he's doing. Steve, you know that Betty and I find indescribable joy in reaching out and touching someone with a broken heart or broken life. Yeah. Now listen to me, please. We spend time reaching out to you, but I promise you this. There will be nothing in your life that will give you a greater sense of fulfillment than reaching out and knowing you made a difference, perhaps all the difference, in someone's life or situation. Look in on something you can make all the difference in.
She's seen this before, and she knows what's coming. She's fought so hard, but no matter what she does, the signs still say severe. The single thing she loves most is fading away. Life, slipping right through her fingers. And she knows it. She knows because it's happened before. Last year, her 4-year-old daughter died from malnutrition. Now, she watches as her son, Akol, fights for his life, just like her daughter did.
Oh, but there will be. No more food. There will be. There isn't any way for me to tell you how much I wanted to put my hands up on that lady's face and tell her how precious she is. We lost our youngest daughter this year. You know that in the past year. She lost her child, and now they're measuring for the malnutrition effect on her little son. Betty, we're blessed with 3 children. We're surrounded by all the wonderful things that freedom and opportunity gives us. Those babies are the sum total of those precious women's life and joy. Isn't that right?
Yes.
No more food, she said. Well, there's going to be, by the grace of God, because Betty and I are going to do all we can to get some food to them. And we've been doing this now, you know, for more than 20 years, faithfully. And our viewers like you who don't check out on pain or need, but say you step up and you reach out and touch them with love, you're going to provide the food, and that's what we're asking you to do. And Betty, I believe with all my heart, our viewers are going to do it. We're going to answer that problem.
Absolutely. And if you're a mother, you know, there's you would go to the ends of the earth. You would do all you know to do to help your child live. This mother evidently has seen one child die and likely to see another one die if they don't get the help they need. And it's a simple solution for us to help them and give them food for their children to help them live. Let's reach out and do that, just as we would with our own children. We'd go to the father's ends of the earth to help them. Let's reach out to the ends of this earth for them, and let's help their children because they can't help them.
And we can save their lives. The missionaries and the relief workers in the foreign nations have reported that we have saved millions and millions of their children's and their families and their people's lives. When I say we, I'm talking about you, the viewers of Life Today. Would you dial the number? I mean, right now, Father, I pray there would be a single person who wouldn't reach out and say, I am going to give somebody some help today. Please, in Jesus' name, for their sake and for your glory. Look, if you could reach out and take your bank card, how often do you use it for something that's really not real important? And you always want to use it like it's a bank card, like it's a check. You want to use it like it's cash. But just take it and say, I'm going to help you take care of 10 children. $100 will help us feed 10 children for several months. And we've got hundreds of thousands, over 400,000 right now in place that are waiting to hear, are you going to keep the food coming in these areas where we found them? Would you do it? If you give 50, we can care for 5, 30. There's not any gift too small. Those children, look, who will help save that woman's little child and get some strength and some meat on their bones, so to speak, and give them a chance and give her hope? You can. Only you could do it for many mothers like that. You might be able to give $1,000, help us take care of 100 children easily with your help. Would you do that, please? Would you just make the gift God put on your heart? Look, we want to send something to you to help you move past your past. You don't have to get stuck and downtrodden and defeated. You say, James, why do you offer gifts? The same way we offer gifts to help those children live and those parents and those families. We want to help you live a more fully blessed, overcoming life of peace and joy and understanding. We want to give to you words of life, spiritual food, spiritual water. So we say thank you. We'll tell you what you do and how we're going to send to you books that will bless you in teaching by Christine Kane, so anointed, so full of God's love. Please dial the number or go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift God put on your heart. You're actually giving the greatest gift. You're giving love and life, and we thank you for it. Make the best gift you can.
In remote and impoverished areas of Africa, families are suffering, facing death by starvation, and those hit the hardest are their children. Life's Mission Feeding Program is there, able to feed and care for over 400,000 children in crisis areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. Our mission partners urgently need your support. Our food reserves are gone, and we desperately need to replenish our supplies at more than 800 feeding centers immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for the next 3 months. With your gift, we'll send you Moving Past Your Past, a powerful new series featuring author and speaker Christine Kane. In Christ, there are no yesterdays, only tomorrows. In this series, Christine provides you with the keys to leaving your past behind and receiving all God has for your future. For a gift of any amount, you'll receive the audio CD series, along with Christine's book, Can I Have and Do It All, Please? With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, please request the entire teaching on both DVD and CD. And as a bonus, we'll send you Christine's latest book release, Undaunted. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed 100 children, and you may request our 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Brotherly Love. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please, as you're helping us rescue lives, don't get stuck in your past. Let a gifted, truly God-anointed woman help you with the heart of a mother, a friend, and a wonderful teacher. Steve Arterman has blessed us. He's blessed so many in so many ways. Here's his book. There's his website. Check it out. Get the book. Join us in thanks to Steve Arterman. Steve, we love you. Appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank all of you for being with us. Thanks so much for touching people with love.
From Embrace Grace and Nancy Alcorn from Mercy Ministries, call the church to show grace and mercy in a life-changing way. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.